Good morning. We are thrilled that you've joined us for the Word for Life radio ministry. If you don't have a church that you regularly attend, we'd love to invite you to join us for that. We have regular services Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning services, Sunday evening services, Wednesday night services, and then, of course, fantastic Christmas musicals and special events, missions conferences. It's an exciting place to be. If you don't have a church that God is just really blessing you in, consider joining us. Just visit. See what God might do in your heart. Last time we met together, we began talking about praying for healing. Praying for healing. We looked at James chapter 5, calling for the elders of the church to pray for healing. We're looking at folks in the scriptures that prayed for healing. Some were, and some weren't. We were looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where the Apostle Paul prayed earnestly three times that God would remove what he called a thorn in the flesh. Not sure what it was, but he sure wanted to get rid of it. But God came back and said, no, but I'll give you grace. And I'll give you grace in such a way that your life will be so changed and you will be so contented with your thorn that it will become a ministry. See, God never wastes suffering. He always gives you a ministry out of your misery. It's exactly what Paul discovered. So he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, that means needing things, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. So be great for us to start every day saying, Lord, weakness today. Need weakness so that your strength will be the only thing that anybody sees. You see, when that becomes our godly response, and we are able to look at the infirmities, that's a lack of strength to, first of all, understand something. And so many times when we're going through difficulties and sickness, we lack understanding. Lord, I don't see this. I don't know why you would allow this or why you would not answer my prayer. We lack understanding. We lack the strength to do great things. We're laid up. We're hindered. We no longer have ability. We lack the strength to bear up under trials. But may we respond like the Apostle Paul, when I am weak physically, I am strong spiritually. See, many times God wants to use our laying up times in Bible study and reading Christian biographies of great Christians of the past whose lives became deepened and stronger because of their time alone with the Lord. It's kind of like Psalm 23 that says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. So many times we don't like to lie down. Maybe that's why the psalmist said, he maketh me to lie down. And there are times, aren't there, friends, that God makes us lie down because he wants to restore our soul. He wants to lead us in paths of righteousness. You see, when we're lying down, sometimes when we're laid aside, we need to remember that Romans 8:28, all things working together for good, is only true when we love God. You remember that? All things work together for good to them who love God. And that's why Satan wants to come and visit you in your sick room, in your weakness room, in your disabled room. And he wants to tell you how little God loves you. That's why Romans 8:28 is so important, that we never cease loving God. Because then all these things will have time to work together. You remember the last part of the verse? And we know that all things work together for good. But that takes time. And so many times when we're praying, we forget that. And we want God to work everything together yesterday, or at least today. Because we want to see the end of it. We say, Lord, please get me out of this. That's always the wrong prayer. Instead of, Lord, get me out of this, it's, Lord, what do you want me to get out of this? That's the right prayer. You see, Paul set the proper example for us. Instead of mourning and being downcast, he immediately changed his prayer to fit all of the revealed will of God. and said, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me, so that when people see me, they will say, 'Wow, what an amazing God he has.'" Years ago, I was walking 4 miles every morning and praying, and one morning, a thought occurred to me. I wonder, when people think of me, do they think of God? And that was a riveting thought. I think it was the next week I was praying along that same line, and then all of a sudden I thought, I wonder, when people think of God, do they think of me? Do I reflect the Lord in such a way that they think of me? Boy, now that set me aside to consider, wow, what is it really like to reflect Christ? See, Paul saw that sometimes sickness is better than health, that the best Christian is sometimes permitted to suffer in order that God can just bestow his power upon him. Somebody put it this way, if God brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. And how true that is. Now the question is, how long of a trial does it have to be for me to bear it? How long of a trial? Well, let me share something that has been a tremendous blessing and help to me. Now, call your attention to Philippians chapter 4, looking at verses 4 through 7. Just in my own personal experience, so many times I've become frustrated with how long I'm praying and nothing seems to be happening. And then I came across the truth in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. And it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoicing." So as I'm looking at what God says about a trial, the first question that I need to ask myself is, how long of a trial is it going to be until I start rejoicing in what God is doing in me? I'll say that again. Will my trial continue and be elongated until I start rejoicing in what God is doing in me? See, I want God to do something through me. I want God to give something to me. But God may be wanting to work in me. Because if God is not doing something for you in an answer to prayer, then God is doing something in you that he might do something great through you. Question, are you rejoicing about that? If not, the trial may have to continue. Then it goes on to say, "Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand." The word moderation in Philippians 4:5 means yieldedness. Yieldedness. Let your yieldedness be known unto all people who are watching. Well, if I'm not yielded to the will of God, if I'm not yielded to the plan of God, then maybe the trial has to continue until finally my yieldedness is seen and known unto all people who are watching. That may be one reason the trial continues. And then it goes on to say in verse number 6, "Be careful for nothing. Be full of care for no reason at all. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." So does my trial need to continue until my condition is no longer causing me to worry or complain? Oh, the condition may not change. But God wants to know, have I accepted it? Or am I still worrying and complaining and giving God advice as to what he needs to do? If so, my trial isn't over. And that's why he says, don't be full of care for any reason at all. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. So the trial may have to continue until I'm praying constantly with thanksgiving to God. Oh, nothing may have changed. No circumstances may have changed. I may be just as sick, may be just as ill, I may be just as disabled, but am I praying constantly with thanksgiving to God? If not, my trial will probably continue. And then it says in verse 7, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds together in Christ Jesus." How long do I pray? Until I have the peace of God. Until the peace of God has taken control of my heart and mind. So whether it's a financial issue or a business issue or a job issue or a marriage issue or an issue with your children or a physical issue with your body, until the peace of God has taken control of your heart and mind, and you're good. you're just good with what God is doing in your life, knowing that all things work together for good. Now, then the question arises, what part does the church have in praying when it comes to sickness? A couple of days ago, we read the scripture from James chapter 5 that says, any afflicted, let him pray. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Now, that word afflicted can be any kind of issues, but it says, let him pray. Now, that's an imperative. In the Greek, that means it's a command to do it repeatedly. A command to do it repeatedly. So if you are facing times of affliction, pray, pray, pray. See, Paul was encouraging them to pray and be patient, thus living by faith and not just living for today. Living by faith that once it's done, I'll have the peace of God to get me through. I'll be praying constantly with thanksgiving. I'll stop worrying and complaining about my situation. People will see my yieldedness to what God is doing in my life. They'll see that I'm rejoicing in what God is doing in me. See, that's what God is doing. So the Apostle Paul says, I want you to pray and be patient. See, prayer and not complaining is God's prescription. Now it says, in verse 14 of James 5, the elders of the church are to be called by the one who is sick. It's not a decision that the elders make. It's the decision that the person who is sick makes. He or she is the one that takes the initiative to say, I truly want to know God's will. And if it's God's will that I be healed, then I want to ask the elders of the church to come and pray for me. Now, notice it's the elders and not the faith healers. Boy, has our generation gotten that wrong. The elders. And it says, let them pray. That's in the Greek an aorist imperative. That means a one-time action. What is it that you're facing? What have you been struggling with? What is it that God has put his finger on while we've been talking this morning? And you've begun to say, you know, that's what I need to do. That's how I need to be facing this time of sickness. That's how I need to be facing this trial that I'm going through, this testing that I'm going through. Have no idea if God would heal me or if God would change anything, but I need to be so yielded to God and so giving him praise that if it is his will, he doesn't have to continue the trial to teach me the lesson. The songwriter said, teach me to pray, Lord. Teach me to pray. Next time we get together, we'll continue to look at that passage. What does it mean for the elders to pray, and if we have sin in our hearts, to be confessed? Until the next time, God bless.